Good morning, and welcome to the worship service broadcasting live from the 8th Reformed Church, located at 841 Burton Street, Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Join us for the next hour as Pastor Mark Bergsma brings a message titled, Confessing Jesus, from Scripture found in Romans chapter 10, verse 8 through 13. This is Kevin Van Heukelo, inviting you to stay tuned and for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
To the worship of 8th Reformed Church, and it's good to see all of you, the part of the 8th family. If you are visiting with us by chance today, on behalf of the 8th family, thank you for being here with us, and we look forward to spending an hour in God's presence with you. Also, a welcome to those who are joining us via WYGR Radio, Jethro Radio, and also on the internet, jethro.fm. We welcome you, and also those who join us through YouTube TV. Many means now to gather together every Sunday morning and worship the Lord together. I want to mention that there are two important handouts in the bulletin today. One of them is our calendar for the upcoming month, and it shows birthdays, anniversaries, meeting times, all important activities. And on the back side of that, you'll see the ministry teams of 8th and their various responsibilities as behind the scenes they carry on the work of God here at 8th. Please use this sheet on a daily basis in your prayers, and pray for people specifically by name, different activities that are taking place here at church, and the overall outreach of 8th. Please pray for that. That's one important handout in the bulletin today. The other one is a sheet that is entitled Confessing Our Faith in Jesus. If you're joining us via the radio or TV, obviously you won't get one of those today. It's going to be kind of important in the message part of the worship service today, and we would be glad to mail you one, or I'll go out on a limb and say Pastor Harry and I would hand deliver you one if you request it. But it's important, it's an important part of the message part of the service today, and we would be glad to get you one. If you call in the church office, Mary Lee will process that, and we'll be sure that you get one of those sheets. Our call to worship today comes from the book of Psalms. And there we read this familiar psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs and know that the Lord is God. It is he who has made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. The opening hymn is number 12, and if you'll stand to sing, Praise Him, Praise Him.
Thank you.
Father, it is our joy to be here today. We thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit drawing us together as one worshiping body. We come because we love you, Father. We come in Jesus' name. We come to worship you and to express to you how much appreciation we have, Father, for all that you've done for us. We know that without you, we're nothing. We know that without you, our case is hopeless. We know that without you acting on our behalf and sending your only begotten Son into the world to die for us and then to rise again to everlasting life, our future would be bleak, if not hopeless. So, Father, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for the faith that you have stirred up inside of us. And now for this chance to come together and to just say thank you and to worship you, we give you all praise and honor and glory. We come together around the name of our precious Savior and Lord, and in his name we pray. Amen. Grace to you now and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. A great job again, and thank you, choir, for just a wonderful song of praise, If That Isn't Love. Today we have, as we go to our congregational prayer, some updates on folks in the congregation. First of all, top of my list, Terry, we're glad that you're here this morning. Terry experienced a mini stroke earlier in the week, was hospitalized, tested, and has bounced back and is here this morning. So good to see you. And he's got his bag of candy with him. You can see him after the service for that, but it's just great to see you. You're such an important part of this congregation, and we have been praying for you. I want to catch you up on Shane Sweeney, too. Many of you have been carefully and faithfully praying for him. He suffered a very serious, massive heart attack earlier in the week, and was hospitalized and put on virtually on life support. He was, in all honesty, very, very near death. And in the meantime, he has made some progress. Both Pastor Harry and I have been up to see him, and just yesterday, when I was there, he actually was awake and alert. He has been taken off from the heart pump that he was on, and while I was there, he was taken off the breathing mechanism that he was on. So the life support systems have been taken off. He still has all kinds of tubes and all kinds of monitors around him, and it's very intimidating looking, but he looks much improved. And I said to him in person, Shane, this is nothing short of a miracle. And he nodded his head. He was aware of the people in the room. He responded to us as we talked to him, and it was just incredible to see that. So thank you for praying for him, and please continue to pray for him. We look forward to the day when he is able to be back with us, worship with us. Please pray for his family, too, for Mom and Dad and for Aaron and for the rest of the family as they faithfully keep a vigil over him. He's still in very critical condition, but the signs have been somewhat encouraging. Betty Holmes returned home. Laura Van Heest is in kind of a process of possibly being repositioned in a different living facility. And so important decisions are being made on her behalf, and please pray for that process as well. The rest of the folks are listed there in your bulletin, and we need to keep praying for them as well. Use your bulletin as a prayer guide. It's one thing that 8th is famous for, and that is just being a faithful praying church. And we see miracle after miracle, don't we? Please continue to do that as we pray together for these people that are so important to us and such an important part of our church family. Let's spend some time in prayer, shall we? Father, it is so good for us to come together and get quiet before you and realize that our thoughts are secondary, that, Father, when we come into your presence, we come into a position of being loved and unconditionally accepted in spite of who we are. And, Father, sometimes that's hard for us to comprehend. It's hard for us to process, but it's true. You have issued to us that incredible invitation to come to you at any time of the day or night, knowing that you not only hear us, but that you go ahead of us, that you prepare a special place for us, that we have a incredible connection with you through prayer. We come in Jesus' name because, Father, it's only because of Jesus that we have our standing before you and with you. Thank you for what our Savior has done for us. We'll talk about him today, Father, and may our thoughts just bring praise and honor and glory to you because of Jesus and because of all that he has accomplished for us in history and in our lives personally as we have come to know him. Father, I thank you for each person in this sanctuary today. Each one of us has a different story to tell. Each one of us has different thoughts coming into this worship service today. And you know those thoughts. You know us inside and out. And somehow, Father, you still love us. And we just rejoice in that, in our standing as your children. Today we'll talk about the promises that you offer us, precious promises that we don't deserve. And yet, you give them to us because we're your kids. We're your children because of Jesus. Thank you for this worshiping congregation. Thank you for 8th Church and for its ministry. Father, it's a very word-oriented ministry, and I thank you for our pastor, Pastor Harry and Beth, and I thank you for their leadership over this congregation and for all the other important ministry servants that you have assembled here to serve you in different ways. So faithful, such a harmonious team. We thank you for that. That we can, at the end of a week, come together and just rejoice over what you have done in our lives and in our church just this past week. Thank you for the radio ministry. Thank you for the TV ministry and other ways where people's lives are touched by your word and by the love of Christ. We pray specifically for the folks that we have mentioned and beyond in our sick list, Father. We think of Terry and we rejoice that he's able to be here today and for the healing that you brought about in his life on this occasion and others like it before. Thank you, Father, for the incredible, miraculous healing we've seen in Shane, and we entrust him totally to your care and ask that you'd continue to be close to him and the Sweeney family in these next days. Continue to give him strength and continue to work a miracle in his life, Father. And we look forward to the day looking back on this episode when we can just praise you and make it a part of our testimony. We serve a God who answers prayer, and a God who accomplishes great, great things. Be with Laura Van Heest and that family as they work on relocating her. We pray for Betty Holmes. Thank you, Father, for the many things that she's been through and for the fact that you have blessed her with the people of 8th Church to encourage her to the point where she has been able to return home in Middleville. Be with Ford and Greg and Steve and Dot. Father Mel under hospice care, we pray for him. We pray for Heath and Brett and David. We pray for those who are homebound or in other facilities, for Glenn and Bob. And then we think of people who have long-term health problems and battle daily with pain. We think of Mel and Ron and Jenny and Judy and Arvilla, Lorraine and Brenda and others, Father, in our congregation who brave that pain every day. Thank you that we can pray for each other and know that that touches your heart when we take the time and are caring to pray for one another. Thank you for the work that continues to go on here at 8th, both up front and behind the scenes, for those who faithfully serve you day in and day out. Thank you for the music ministry, for our choir, and the work that's put in from week to week, and their faithful leader, Paul, and all the ways that he serves you through this church. For those who accompany on instruments and those who lend their voices, for the special music that we're blessed with, in all these things, Father, they remind us of how blessed and fortunate we really are. And we thank you that you continue to bless us in this way. Continue to be with our giving, that you may take those offerings of appreciation from us and multiply them the way you did the bread and the fish on the mountainside until many are fed with the very good news of Jesus Christ and the gospel. We look forward now, Father, to opening your word together, and we pray that your spirit may pervade this place, may invade our hearts, may open our minds, and may cause us to say amen to the great truths that are exposed about our Savior today. We pray that all through the name of Jesus and for his sake. Amen. We are going to sing again. The song is number 526, The Solid Rock.
Thank you.
As we open God's Word together today, I will ask you to follow along in your pew Bible, or if you brought your own Bible, all the better. And I'll also ask you to take out of your bulletin that handout or that separate sheet that is labeled Our Confession of Faith in Jesus. We're going to be using that as we go along today. This is actually a kind of a participation message today. So you're going to be a part of it. And I'll explain all of that as we go along. The passage that we're going to read together is from the book of Romans, chapter 10, and we'll read verses 8 through 13. To set that up, let me say this. Paul is writing to the Romans, a group of new Christians that he has never met. It is the only epistle that he writes to a church that he didn't help found. So these are folks that he has only received reports about their faith and their coming to faith and that kind of thing, but he's concerned about them. They're under tremendous persecution and pressure by the Roman authorities, by the emperor and so on, and he doesn't know how much of the gospel they've heard, how much about Jesus they've heard. And the interesting thing is that we benefit because of all of that, because he puts together this incredible epistle, the book of Romans. And in this book, he covers all of the basics in great depth. The book can be divided into three parts: sin, salvation, service. The first part deals with our sinfulness in great depth. And then the second part deals with God's solution for our hopeless problem of being sinners headed towards hell. It deals with our Savior, and it deals with how he accomplished our salvation. Then the third part of the book, the service part, deals with how we are to say thank you to God with our lives and by the way we live in response to what he's done for us. So we have this magnificent book, the book of Romans, which goes into great depth because Paul has never visited these people, and he's concerned that they know the whole truth, that they know all about Jesus in particular. And smack dab right in the middle of all of this, in chapter 10, there's this very interesting passage that we're going to read together right now that kind of sums everything up. And he almost pauses in the middle of this epistle to say these things to his audience, to those who will be hearing these words in Rome. So here's what it says, starting at verse 8. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who puts his trust in him will never be put to shame. For there's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him, for And here's this great statement. You've seen it on roadside billboards, and you've seen it all over. It's a tremendous promise. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, two things come out of that little summary. One, obvious. Believe with all of your heart in Jesus and what He has accomplished for you and me. We're good at that. The second part, maybe we're not quite as good at. The second part is we're to confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. We're to confess with our mouths that Jesus has done these great things to us out loud, with our voices. How often do we do that? We have in our tradition, of course, that time when a young person comes to faith and makes what we call confession of faith. But too often we see that as a kind of a one-and-done thing. According to Paul, we're to keep on confessing Jesus with our mouths, not just believing in Him with our hearts. It's like this great puzzle. I am not a puzzler. My wife does them. My kids are very good at them. They enter competitions where they hand you a puzzle and you have a certain amount of time to do it and you're against 20 other teams, and they've actually won those competitions. I don't do puzzles. But imagine that this is like a puzzle. Periodically in your devotions, when you sit under preaching, when you're in a Sunday school class, when you're reading Christian literature, when you're studying the Word of God, you're going to come across pieces of that puzzle. Great truths about Jesus. And you're going to begin to put those together. And the more you do, the more this beautiful panoramic picture of Jesus starts to grow. And we do that. We do that through our diligent pursuit of the truth about Jesus. You're doing it right now. In fact, today you may add a piece or two to your puzzle. But the end result will, you'll have this picture of Jesus that takes your breath away. When you begin to study. For instance, the last time I preached on the anger of Jesus, something that we don't think about all that much. But we think about Jesus and His clashes with the Pharisees and the religious people. Why did he get so upset with them? Another side of Jesus, another piece to the puzzle. And as we put these pieces together, this is the counsel we have from God. Believe them with all of your heart and confess them with your mouth. And if you do that, there's a promise involved, a precious promise here. If you do that, you will be saved. God never goes back on His word. These positive declarations that we make honor God. And they're an exercise in our faith. They make our faith stronger. All right, back to our passage. According to this passage, believing in Jesus involves more than just believing in your heart. It involves your mouth as well. It says, the word is near you. That word is Jesus Himself. The truth about Jesus, It's about faith in Him, specifically faith in Jesus. Not in God in general, not in religion. It's faith in Jesus Himself that sets us apart from all of the other religions of the world. And we need to always keep that in mind. We're Jesus people. Eighth is a Jesus church. We make no apologies for that. You say, well, that's pretty exclusive. We'll talk about that in a minute. It is exclusive. No apologies. It is exclusive. We believe only in Jesus. And we'll talk about that when we get into one of these verses in our confession of faith about the fact that it's Jesus alone who saves us. The bottom line is believing is important. Confessing Jesus is important. The word confess in the Bible means that you out loud agree with something that God has expressed. That you say it out loud. In agreement to a truth that God has revealed to you. There's a short way to do this. We can say amen. And let me just say this. There's nothing wrong in a worship service with saying amen. We used to do it at Unity all the time. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a way for you to say, yes, indeed, I confess that what you have just preached or what you have just said is the truth. And I'm saying it out loud with my mouth, just as the Bible told me to. So don't ever hesitate to do that. It's an important way to confess Christ, to agree with something that has been said about Him, and to let the world know that it's genuine. What I'd invite you to do now is just simply take your sheet, and what I'm going to do is just go through these with you. We're going to say them together. We're going to be obedient to Romans chapter 10. We're going to say these truths about Jesus together. I'll mention this. That sheet you have in front of you is 100% Scripture. There's nothing added there. They're all truths that have been taken out of Scripture about Jesus in particular. And we're going to say them together, and then I'm going to make a few comments, and then we're going to move on to the next verse. I've got them in verses, I think, haven't I? So we're going to start with verse 1. And I'm going to say it first, and then we're going to say it together after that. You are the good shepherd. Lord Jesus, you are the good shepherd. You know your own, and your own know you. You came down that we might have life and have it more abundantly. You have laid down your life for us. You are the door of the sheep. Through you we enter and are safe and find pasture. The shepherd knows his sheep, and they know him. Have you ever stopped to consider this? God knows your name. He speaks your name in the heavenlies. He says your name out loud way more times than you say His name in this world. He knows your name. And that means He knows you intimately. He calls you by name. It says, the Scripture says, He leads them to abundant, full life. He leads them away from danger. He leads them to places where they can be protected and safe from the dangers of this world. I want you to just stop and think a minute. How many times in 2025 you were in your car, either driving or a passenger, and you were going down the road in a two-way traffic situation. Cars whizzing by, maybe 55, 60 miles an hour, just this far from your car. And I want you to think about the fact that your life was preserved by the Good Shepherd hundreds, if not thousands of times in 2025 alone. At any given time, the person in that other car could have had a medical emergency. Something could have happened. They could have dozed off. They could have been texting. That happens all the time. And they could have swerved over and hit you head on. But God saw to it, the shepherd saw to it that you were protected. We don't realize that. We're just driving down the road. How does God do it? Well, he does it through his angels. But the shepherd is constantly looking out for us, for the sheep. I read a devotional a few years ago that absolutely floored me when I read it. Just an innocent little devotional. You know what it said? Jesus was up all night last night taking care of you. Whoa. I mean, that's true. But it hit me like a ton of bricks. He never goes to sleep. The shepherd is constantly vigilant and protecting his sheep. Constantly. Every moment of the night and day. And that's just mind-boggling. It says, I'm the door of the sheep. The sheep, of course, used to be put out to pasture during the day so they could eat, and then at night they'd be brought back to the sheep pen, put into the sheep pen, which had walls, but it had an opening. And the opening didn't have a gate on it. The opening was closed by the shepherd lying across the opening. And so protecting those sheep who were put to bed from wild animals, from any other danger that might come their way. Jesus said, I'm the door of the sheep, the door of the sheep pen, and I am in place to protect you 24/7. So that you can be safe and well-fed and secure and protected and cared for and loved. Listen, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Number two, you are our Savior. Lord Jesus, you came into the world not to condemn the world, but that it might be saved. There is no other name given under heaven among men whereby we might be saved. You alone are able to keep us from falling and to make us stand in the Father's presence, blameless with great joy. And so to you, the only God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power before all time, now and forever. Amen. The number one reason Jesus came to us was not to judge us, not to condemn us, but to save us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should have eternal life. He didn't come to judge the world. He came to save the world. Now here's the important part in that second verse. There is no other name under heaven by which we should be saved. If anyone ever suggests to you that there are other ways that you might be saved, they're lying. They're telling you an untruth. Back in the 90s, this came to the fore in our own denomination. One of our pastors in the Reformed Church stood up before his congregation one day and he said, you know, I'm not so sure, but that there are other ways that people could get to heaven. And it sent shockwaves through the denomination. We should have all stood up and said, no way, that's not what the Scripture teaches. We should have protested. We should have said, listen, the only way that a person can be saved is through Jesus Christ, because the Bible makes that crystal clear. You just confessed it. You just agreed with God that Jesus is our only hope. And nothing could be more true than that. And you're going to continue, because we live in a world that is very religious, very spiritual, but not always very Jesus-oriented. That points the finger at us and says, you're just too exclusive. You got to broaden your horizons. There might be other ways for people to be saved. Thank God there is one way. We don't deserve that one way, but thank God there is one way, and that is through Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You alone are able to keep us from falling and to make us stand in the Father's presence blameless with great joy. Again and again, the gospel says, Jesus is the only way. He is the truth. Number three, you are the way and the truth. Lord Jesus, you are the bread of life. You are the bread of God, which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. He who comes to you shall never hunger, and he who believes in you shall never thirst. You are the one that we may eat of and not die. He who eats your flesh and drinks your blood has eternal life, and you will raise him up in the last day. We know that bread sustains people. We know that it is the staff of life, bread referring to food in general. Jesus doesn't just make bread and the grain that gives us bread. He is the bread, the Scripture says, and it brings us right back to the Lord's table, doesn't it? And to what he said with his disciples that night when he took bread and he broke it and he said, I want you to put this in your bodies because this is my body which is broken for you. And if you eat of this in faith, you will be nourished not just to sustain your earthly life, you will be nourished for eternity, for eternal life inside of you. We participate in the Lord's Supper by faith, and it's such a powerful experience because Jesus is the bread that sustains even to eternal life. He nourishes us and keeps us living forever. Wrap your mind around that one. That's why the celebration of the Lord's Supper is so important. That's why we do it by faith. It's a hands-on experience. It's not like just listening. We participate, and we do it because Jesus is the bread of life. Number four, you are the Lamb of God. Lord Jesus, you are the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. You died for our sins according to the Scripture. In you we have redemption through your blood, the forgiveness of sins. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessings. To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. We're just entering the season of Lent, and Lent focuses our attention on what? On the cross and on the Lamb of God. Remember what John the Baptist said when he was standing in the Jordan River baptizing and Jesus came down to the riverbank. Remember what he said? Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We have all these theological terms that we study and that are a part of our understanding of the gospel, terms like redemption, substitutionary atonement, expiation, propitiation, and all of them are beautiful terms and they all describe what took place on the cross, but it can be as simple as this. Jesus provided us the Lamb who was slain in our place as our substitute so that we wouldn't have to be slain and punished eternally for our sins. It's as simple as that. Jesus himself is the Lamb. The Jews understood this. They had this holiday called Yom Kippur, and they would take two lambs, and people would bring these lambs to them, and they would kill one of them, and they would catch the blood, and then they would take that blood and sprinkle it over the people. The priests would do this, and that blood covered their sins. And then they would take the second lamb and they would ceremonially take the sins of the people and place them on the second lamb, and they would then kick that lamb out of the city into the wilderness, and that lamb would eventually die. But that second lamb was called the scapegoat, and he took their sins out away from them, separated them from the people so that they wouldn't be accountable for them anymore. And this was a tremendous act of faith. The people came from far and wide into Jerusalem for Yom Kippur, and it was the Day of Atonement. Now guess what? All of that came to an end when God sent his Son to be the Lamb of God who would be slain on the cross for his people to cover their sins, to remove their sins from them now and forevermore. Yom Kippur is accomplished completely in Jesus. And then number five, you are the resurrection and the life.
Lord Jesus,
you are the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in you shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in you shall never die. You are the one who lives and was dead, and behold, you are alive forevermore. Amen. You have the keys of heaven and death. This one's the best one of all because it has to do with life. His resurrection from the dead is the key to our faith. If the tomb is still occupied, we have no hope. But because it's empty, because Jesus is indeed resurrected, and by the way, historical evidence bears this out, because Jesus is resurrected, we have hope. There's this beautiful statement that you just confessed. The one who believes in you shall live even if he dies, and everyone who lives and believes in you shall never die. I can say without any hesitation that Pastors Howard and Pastor Harvey, Pastor Garrett, Pastor Harry, and Pastor Mark have said this many, many times at funerals and memorial services, because it is God's promise to us. If you have Jesus, if you confess Jesus, even though you take your last breath, you will not die, even for an instant. Your life will go on continuously. Your life, even now, is secure because you have within you eternal life. You've confessed it, it's there, and you have God's promise on that. You are alive by faith forevermore. Try to wrap your head around that one. That means, friends in Christ, we're going to be doing things together a million years from now. And at that point, we'll be just getting started. We are alive. We are together forevermore. Why? Because of Jesus. All right. We're almost out of time. Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Why did we do what we did today? Why do we confess our faith out loud together? Let me give you five quick reasons. Number one, Jesus said to, we're obeying. You obeyed God today. If you confessed with your whole heart, with the rest of us, these great truths about Jesus. Number two, it brings glory to God. It acknowledges His plan. Here's another thing. It acknowledges our lostness. And that's hard for us to do. It brings us to the point where we say, if Jesus doesn't intervene on my behalf, I'm a goner. I'm lost. Number three, it claims God's promise for us. It claims God's promise. God will always, always keep His word. You said it. You confessed it. It's true. It will be kept. Number four, it testifies to the world. The gospel, what Christianity is really all about. That Jesus is the only way. Is anybody listening? I guarantee you people are listening. I guarantee you principalities and powers are listening today. Our testimony together, out loud, gets heard. It makes a difference. And we're to keep on doing it. It's not a one and done thing. You believe and you confess. You agree with God. You say amen when you run across a groundbreaking new discovery about Jesus. And number five, it's a preview of heaven. Now we speak to Jesus by faith from a distance, then we shall see Him face to face, and we shall address Him and confess those great truths about Him face to face. In the meantime, it is our process of growing in our faith. It's called sanctification. That's the big theological term for it, but it really means we're just growing. We're growing in our faith in Him day by day. How do we do it? We believe with our whole heart, and we confess with our mouths, and then we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for everything. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we are just privileged to be able to do this today. Your word says to us that we can't do what we just did except that the Holy Spirit speak through us. And so we acknowledge that today. It wasn't us doing the talking, it was the Holy Spirit. And we go forth from this place not just believing, but confessing Christ with all of our heart to anyone who will listen, to a hungry world, to a doubting world, to a world that wants to make fun of Jesus, ignore him. We will confess him in all of his beauty, in all of his diversity, in all of his splendor. We will confess our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it's in his name now that we pray. Amen. We are going to sing again, number 766, standing to sing At the Name of Jesus. Going to invite our deacons to come and receive our morning offering. Thank you. Father, again, we just recognize your goodness to us. You provide for us every day. We always, Father, are blessed beyond imagining. May it never stand between us and them, the blessings we receive from your hand. We thank you for your continuing care for us, like a shepherd cares for his sheep. Use these gifts now, Father, to multiply and spread the word, the truth about Jesus. We pray that with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. After the benediction, our closing song is He is Lord, number 34 in the songbook. Receive God's blessing. Now may the peace of our great God, the peace that comes from knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord, may that peace go with you and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.
This brings to a close this week's broadcast from the 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you have received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jeffro FM each Sunday morning at this time. You can also listen to a past service on our website at 8thchurch.org. That's 8thchurch.org. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in his care.